Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting session of Lambda Test Experience Series. Through XP Series, we dive into a world of insights and innovation featuring renowned industry experts and business leaders in the testing and QA ecosystem. I'm your host, Kavya, Director of Product Marketing at Lambda Test, and it's a pleasure to have you all with us today. Today's webinar will explore the impact and potential of Gen AI in the realm of IT engineering. To shed light on today's discussion, let me introduce you to our guest on the show, Matthias Sachs. Matthias is an accomplished agile engineering coach at Raiffeisen Bank International, where he drives successful digital transformations through agile methodologies. With a deep-rooted passion for software development, Matthias is a developer by heart who has honed his skills in software testing and test automation in the DevOps environment. In today's show, Matthias will delve into the transformative potential of generative AI for development and test automation. And of course, we'll discuss how Gen AI can revolutionize code review processes, provide guidance for setting up CI/CD pipelines, and even translate behavior-driven development, that is BDD, into runnable source code. You'll also get to learn about generating test automation locators and receive recommendations on how to leverage Gen AI effectively. So get ready to explore real-world success stories and best practices in utilizing Gen AI. Matthias, over to you. Would love to know more about your journey, and of course, we can jump on from there on.
Thank you very much for this very kind introduction. And yeah, I'm very happy to be here to also contribute to this XP series, kind of bring here my thoughts. I know each and everyone is talking about AI, but still, I'm quite sure I have something which you can take out of it, even where everyone is talking about it. Yes, my journey is, as you heard, from developer to test automation engineer to coach and maybe in the future, no, prompt engineer. I don't know. Let's see. Today, let me share the slides. Today, I want to talk about the impact of AI on all of us. Hopefully you can see the slides now. Just want to remove this one. Yes, you should see it. And so kind of the impact on us IT engineers, yeah, from generative AI, please. Yeah, that's the important thing. And I want to tell you a story because I like stories. And in my opinion, it makes the thing more entertaining. A very good colleague and friend of mine, Rudolf Gretz, maybe you know him. We sat together some weeks ago and we had a coffee and he was like, "Hey, Matthias, maybe I should switch my job back." You need to know Rudy is an educated carpenter. And 30 years ago, he switched from carpentry to IT because he thought that robots will replace the carpentry. And nowadays, he thought that maybe he should switch back to carpentry because generative AI is replacing the engineer. And that was a pretty interesting discussion which we had. And this was kind of, hey, I should talk about this and I should challenge the AI, what it can really do. So this is what I want to do today. I will also kind of answer them or give you the answer which I gave to Rudy, if he really should switch. But first, let me also introduce myself a little bit more, that you know some details. Let me enable the bullet point. So I'm Matthias Sachs, as you already heard. I live in Austria. I work there as an engineering coach at Raiffeisen Bank International, which is a leading corporate investment bank in Central and Eastern Europe. Test automation is my profession and passion. I'm organizing the community of practice for test automation. So this is what I really love. Private-wise, I'm happily married. I have an adorable daughter. I really like barbecue. And, you know, if you want to eat good barbecue, kind of you need to do it by your own because you cannot really buy it or pay for it. So I'm meanwhile 2-time certified barbecue master. Funny side story. If you want to get into contact with me about any topics, please reach me out on social media channels. Always happy to discuss. Good, enough about myself. A short disclaimer about the slides. Because I thought it's maybe funny to even show the power of generative AI for slides. So everything you see, not the text, this is coming from my brain. But what you see, kind of the pictures, graphics, diagrams, whatever, is generated with OpenAI, Midjourney, or Google Gemini. And everything is also afterwards on GitHub. So don't do any snippings or copy paste, whatever. Just go on GitHub, you will see it in there. Good, let's start with the story because I like time travels. This is very good showcasing how the past went, and you can maybe predict the future, I don't know. At the time where Rudy switched, you know, to IT, this was in the 1960s, 70s, you know, mainframe area, kind of our IT industry was born. The IT engineer was born. We needed people who were able to produce very basic applications at that time. So the first engineer was hired, so to say. Maybe at this time, engineer was called differently, but it was an IT engineer. 10 years later, you know, then kind of Windows came into the game, also this private computing. So rich people at the beginning were able to afford private PCs. But anyhow, a lot of applications were needed, which were running on those devices. Completely different approaches appeared. The IT engineer evolved, you know, the market increased. 10 years later, internet boom, nowadays standard, but the way how we develop their applications, you know, web engineering, HTML, etc., came up. So again, IT engineer was even more needed, and much more each and every company wanted to host their own website, and so on. Then, you know, these beautiful small devices which you're using, maybe you use it right now, yeah, showing, looking the video. This revolutionated already the market a lot because, you know, a lot of applications are nowadays based on optimized for mobile devices because, yeah, that's what you use daily, almost hourly. So a lot of new technologies appeared, a lot of new jobs posting were out of the market because we needed more and more developers. In the 2010s, there was the first time a change from history because now cloud computing appeared. And, you know, our awesome system administrators, which cared about their PCs, servers, under their desk, whatever, with a huge passion, come kind of obsolete because we described our servers into a YAML file, under quotes, please, and moved it to the cloud. Yeah, of course, with new approaches, with cloud computing, cloud engineering. And not all of them, but a lot of those system engineers became obsolete or needed to upskill and or reskill, actually. So the first time it became disruptive a little bit. But on the other hand, you know, DevOps, cloud engineering, it's nowadays a very huge area, so a lot of engineers were needed. What is now different? In this decade, generative AI appeared. You know, AI is, to be honest, around us. I guess it was born in the 1970s already, the first AI, but generative AI, so that it can really produce something new, is new. And it has kind of impact on all the areas because it can write source code. It can write HTML, it can write Java, it can produce YAML files, it can do an engineering job. And that was also the time where I really thought, hey, maybe I should change. Damn it, it can do the stuff what I can do. And today I want to check this, yeah? I want to first tackle the question if Rudy should switch his job. And I want to say, hey, AI, come here, buddy, show me your tricks, yeah? Like as I would have a dog, show me what you can really do, yeah? Because the holder of a dog can tell me a lot, obviously. And I thought how to do that, and showcasing it on a full SDLC would make sense in my opinion. So kind of from the prototyping to the running thing. So let me show you the stuff for prototyping. Also from testing perspective, prototyping is very important to test, you know, the earliest stage. And maybe you know this guy. This guy is Greg Brookman. He is one of the founders of OpenAI. And this was the developer pitch for a developer's live stream for GPT-4. So the new model. And maybe you remember or not, doesn't matter. He had this scene there where he showed a scratchbook. And that was kind of funny because maybe it'd make it a little bit bigger. He scratched there, let's call it a very basic website. He made it a picture and showed, hey guys, look, it generated me all the source code and it runs now. It can produce websites. I mean, I immediately tried it after the pitch. It did not work at that time, but that's another story. Meanwhile, it works. So I did that. And I thought, hey, a talk rating page would be a nice thing. Yeah. So I very roughly did a design of it, a kind of a flow diagram with a login, with some checks, and then there should be a talks with list of talks to rate on it, etc. Let's see how this works. So I made a picture and put this prompt next to it. So can you explain what you see on this picture and generate the source code in HTML, JavaScript, CSS? It should look like a modern app. So what did the AI interpret it here? First, this beautiful picture, I liked it. So kind of the flow was good. So the main idea was understood. It even got the conditions so that there should be some empty field checks. And for the talks, it realized this is a placeholder. So I got the info here. The data should come from a database, etc. So that was pretty impressive. But of course, you want to see how it works. So I have here prepared a video. So kind of the order files, what was delivered. It's the HTML here. You can see it looks not so bad. There is an empty field validation. You can insert something, no checks here. Then it lists the talks. You can create new talks. That's interesting. I have not designed this feature. Also, the rating is here with descriptions. If you click on it, it's, I don't know, not really a rating. I don't know if this is this hallucinations, but overall, it was really impressive. I mean, AI can read my handwriting. You can read my scratching. Just check the potentials. And you know, I generated all these files, and then next to those, I asked the AI to please give me a shell script which creates me the folder structure, and it did all this. So I know it took me 5 minutes, and it's runnable. So you can already use that for a customer discussion so that you can already show something and get very fast feedback and test it. So in my opinion, that's really cool. Good, but it's prototyping, nothing which goes to production. So let's use it for design and development. And I just took out this part of the service and asked the AI, hey, can you create a user story? So can you create a user story for the password service which I have drawn on the picture? And it did that. So quite a very good syntax of it, very good structure. It was a valid user story, you know, as a system admin, I want to have a service which validates the password, etc. And it's compliant. It has acceptance criteria, 7 of them. Good. I guess if we would have designed it, we would have not so much. It took some notes and risks, you know, that it should be fast, scalable. And it even had some test cases derived on the acceptance criteria, which are now here cut off. But anyhow, very good. Yeah, so for user stories, if you're in the refinement sessions, this could be kind of a buddy which you take to it. Yeah, kind of a co-pilot, as anyhow the most of the producers now calling their AI systems. So user story, good, but of course, let's develop it. And here we see one side is OpenAI, and the other side is Google, so Gemini. And OpenAI went for the straightforward approach. You kind of each condition gets developed, each acceptance criteria gets developed, which is good. It worked. And the other, Google took another approach. There is obviously a class called Password Validator where you can add those things to and use it. That's, in my opinion, a better approach, much more structured, reuses here in place. So I was able to learn, because the AI had some approaches which I was not aware of, but I liked it more. And it fitted our needs. So really good. Of course, you need to have the skills to validate it. And without development skills, yeah, I guess you would be lost which one you should choose. But you know what was really surprising? You know, GenAI is not the most intelligent thing we have, kind of, but it didn't write unit tests. Come on, it's like basic development procedure. You should not skip this part, but it didn't do it. Yeah, it didn't do it because I have not asked for it. It was not part of my prompt. And here comes a very important point, which you please take with you. Because I asked it and I provide unit tests for each 100% code coverage even. It did so because of very basic implementation. The better the prompt is, or a good prompt will end up in a better output. Also, sometimes you need to chain prompts, you know, you need to work with the context. But this is important. You need to know what you want that the AI can help you producing it. If you don't know it, this will be really difficult. You will get something which is maybe not right or maybe not unit tested. So it's not complete. You need to care about the prompts. That's for development. Of course, come on, let's test it. Let's test it now. So I took this one here. It's a demo application from AppliTours. I use this sometimes for writing some demo test scripts. I want to do something now. I want to extract the locators based on the DOM. I want to generate playwright scripts. And I want to use the page object pattern. And I want to use data-driven approach so that I can parameterize the tests. So let me open here the browser. Zips. Where's my mouse here? So kind of if you go here and you know show the whole text, I copy the full HTML. And this is what it did. It just put it here because otherwise it would wait for the AI to respond. So I write test automation with Playwright. And I have the following DOM. Can you extract the form fields as locators? So this is the DOM, which I've seen before. And it did that. I found blah, 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 the following. So username, there is an ID, locator, CSS or XPath. So you kind of all options. And even a small script in Playwright, how to use it. Pretty impressive. Works really good. Then write a login test and use the page object pattern. That's again from my side. Yeah, it's, this is the prompt. So it's changed. It's in the, based on the context. And yeah, I do this. Step one, I will create a login page object. Object. So it's a class login page. You can see here construct the locators and then the dedicated functions to it, and even the login function, which we can use then. And here you have a test case to that. So we use this, we have here our test case. In the before or we launch the browser, we close it here. In the before each, we initialize the login page, we navigate to it, and here we do the login in the test case. And it tells us, hey, please do some assertions. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Of course, the AI could not know because I didn't ask it for what to assert. This here we need to do, either you put it into the prompt or afterwards you kind of develop this part of the code. Cool. It always adds some explanations, but I guess you already know that. Next task, run the tests with multiple credentials. They are stored in a test data CSV file. This fields. ChatGPT, of course, did so. So first it reads the CSV file. I will not go into these details. It works. And then it modifies the test cases. So here you can see in the before all, it reads all the test data in into the credentials as an object. And then it iterates over the tests, or over one test here, where it does the logins. And again, here the assertions you need to do by your own. So overall, pretty impressive how fast this was. And it works. It kind of, it fits my needs. It was able to, I just put there in a DOM, and I also tried it out with much bigger DOMs, to be honest, or HTMLs, and extract the locators. Of course, if these are now very complex locators, maybe this part you need to do by your own. You always, it's a copilot. It will not always work 100%, but it's a good start. It can help you in designing the page object pattern. It can help you parameterize your tests. You just need to tell it how you're doing it right or how you want to do it. That's pretty impressive. Seriously, that was really good. And meanwhile, nowadays, I use it. It's kind of a daily work where I use AI helping myself. One last point, because obviously we need to also install it, our application, we need to deploy it. Here, I mean, I have kind of a basic knowledge about AWS or cloud engineering, but I would not be able to deploy it now in a professional way. And the cool stuff here was that I was able to discuss with the Copilot and this with ChatGPT, sorry, in natural language. So in English, I was able to discuss what kind of application I have and what my plans are. So what performance do I want to have? Which kind of monitoring capabilities? How much my pricing? So we had kind of discussions about ECS, EKS, or the Fargate service. And after all, I was able, or the I actually was then able to transform this into a YAML file, which, of course, after setting up security groups and so on, was able to deploy it to AWS. That was really interesting. So I was able to do something which I was would not be able to do it at all. Of course, with upscaling and research, definitely. But now I was very fast able to do that. But on the other hand, you need to be careful because in this case, I was not able to validate it. It could be that it's something which is super expensive or a fully overkill for my application, or it doesn't work at all. Yeah? It has some bugs inside because I don't have the deep experience and knowledge here. Of course, you can do something new, but if you cannot validate it, so you would need some additional tests, maybe that you have it test driven. But here, I would be really careful with doing something which you don't have the skills for it. Let me tell you some more use cases for pipeline building. So continuous integration, continuous delivery, like GitHub Actions, you know, especially if it's part of the repo, the AI can interpret the repo from the context. Of course, it can then build it properly. So that's a very good use case. Test strategy, here we use it also quite often in the company to have it as discussion because it knows common pattern. You know, if you have now a retail banking app, there are millions on the or thousands on the market. So there is some data available that we can ask, hey, what should we consider? What are common risks if you have a retail banking app on Android and iOS and so on? So that's very good. For monitoring, AI ops is a prominent term here. That based on data of your production environment, that you do some predictive alerting or optimizations. Documentations, other quotes here, please. Here I talk about mainly about README files and how to use things, not about, I don't know, user handbooks and so on, or other kind of documentation, because, and we are already partly in this phase that AI can be fitted in with our kind of documents, yeah, that we train the model with data from, so kind of company data. And you know, if you produce documentation with AI and in half a year you feed it in into the AI to ask questions to, this is a loop. You should be careful. You document the stuff you want to document, just don't produce documentation because you can now. Yeah. And of course, a lot of more. Good, let me conclude. In my opinion, generative AI, and you saw a lot of or some use cases, it's super impressive and you can kind of apply it everywhere. It's not locked down to IT. Of course, everyone has the SDLC for the IT engineer, it's super, but also for user stories, yeah, for test strategy, for designing of applications, and also a part of the IT industry. It is something which has come to stay. Definitely, I guess there is no doubt about it. If you think back in one of my first slides, where I had the time where cloud computing came. Yeah, so it replaced the system architect, the infrastructure guys. And in my opinion, prompt engineering is now the cloud computing of tomorrow. Yeah, so this is kind of the new thing where we need to jump on and need to train us. You saw that based on the prompt, you get different output. And if I would have the discussion now with Rudy and he would ask for an answer, I would tell him, I mean, carpentry is a very good business. Yeah, if you want to do that, do so. Why not? But not because of this reason of gender, I know. And I would recommend just educate, upskill yourself in prompt engineering and leverage yourself onto the next level to be faster, better, higher quality, and so on. It's a very good 24/7 body, so to say. And if Gen AI will replace all of us engineers, let me quote here Li Feifei. She is vice president of Google Cloud, professor at computer science, Stanford University. And she said a really cool sentence. So let me quote her here. AI won't replace humans. That's good, or? But humans using AI will. And I really like this quote. And I was saying, this opinion, so time to use it. Yeah, thank you very much for your attention. Hopefully you enjoyed this session. Now we will have some questions. You will see here the links to the GitHub repositories. Just search my name and you will find those stuff. If you want to know also something more, you can ping me on LinkedIn, for example. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Matthias. That has been a very insightful presentation on the potential of Gen AI and yeah, the end code that you shared, that humans using AI could, of course, replace humans. I think that's a great quote, of course. Now let's jump into the questions. The first question that I have is, in today's rapidly evolving tech landscape, do time constraints and skill shortages still justify avoiding test automation? And how can teams overcome these challenges?
Okay, but let me also stop the screen share that I can see you better. The thing is that, I mean, the problem is that a lot of companies go now on AI and think it will replace, or it will replace the headcount. Let's say it like this, you know, and now I have 8 engineers, afterwards I need 6. But actually that's not true. Yeah? We engineers, our work has a lot to do with creativity. And now we have something which is supporting us here. I don't believe that we can reduce headcounts. This is now a new thing that we can leverage ourselves on the next level. We can work as we should work, because each and every team has technical debt. Each and every team, yeah? And maybe with this we can get rid of that, not to a full extent. So this is kind of how I see it.
Interesting point, of course, and it is of course very interesting to see how AI is at the end of the day reshaping all the traditional notions as well as workflows, right? Thank you for sharing that insight. Moving on, what strategies can teams adopt to integrate automation seamlessly into their workflows and mitigate technical debt?
So to loop in here also AI, because the other thing I guess is most people do already, so including, I don't know, their SAS scannings and pull request reviews and so on. We, our company, implemented now, so we have the AI as a ChatGPT available, even with APIs. So we have it also integrated in some flows, mm-hmm. which means that, just to quote one team, they're using it as a mandatory pull request reviewer. So it will do a check of the changed source code if it has implemented some new technical debt. This is kind of interesting. It works so la-la, yeah? Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, in an evolving state, everything is in a very experimental state. Of course, the thing works, mm-hmm. but I'm sure the next years there will come new models, GPT 5, 6, 7, I don't know, yeah? Or others from Germany, other competitors, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here is a timeline that we explore fast and that we loop it in as a copilot. Of course, you can use GitHub Copilot or other code supporters where you get even faster feedback, you know, that you have it really sneaked in the time where you code. But also, as for example, this team has it in the pull request and is checking, have you followed all the standards which you want to have here?
Yeah. No, of course, thank you so much for that. I'm sure these strategies would be very useful for our audience as well. Moving on to the next question, how can AI empower developers and testers in achieving faster code feedback and, of course, kickstarting CI/CD pipelines?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fastest code feedback, what you can get is through a coding assistant, as I mentioned, Copilot or Codeium or whatever. Yeah, don't want to make here any marketing, just name here the prominent one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is also what we have, and we make your... It's successful. Overall, we did some service from the developer and they liked it. In the beginning, they were not really happy about it, the first versions of it, to be honest here also, because mm-hmm. the quality was not that good. We had to rework the code very often, which was suggested. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it's good. Yeah, I guess people will forget regular expressions very soon because the AI will do it. They just write a comment, which is good. Anyhow, I'm not a big fan of these kind of things. This is what I recommend. Yeah, so get the fastest feedback possible. CI is of course good, but this takes time to build the application, run it in the pipeline. It's if it's a difference if you get it in 5 minutes or 5 seconds. And if you can get it in 5 seconds, what you need now in the line of code, of course, do it.
Well, thank you so much again for shedding light on it. I'm sure because at the end of the day, developers and testers are all trying to achieve faster code feedback, and same goes for enterprises across the world. Awesome. Moving on to the next question, how does GenAI streamline code review processes and assist in generating test automation locators?
I mean, I kind of had it in my example how to do that. This works quite good. Seriously, doesn't need mandatory to be playwright. To be honest, this is just how I use it, and you also use Selenium or whatever.
Yep.
This is how I would recommend to use it. You can also put in there locators and ask if this is a good one or a bad one. Is this a flaky one? How to optimize it? Especially if you use XPath, you know, it can. Mm-hmm. If you have put there an absolute XPath to it, ask to make it a relative with stabilized and so on. This is really need to get into the communication with the tool, so to say. And this will make it better, definitely. You can also generate stuff. You need to then check it if you like it, what it produced. Because very often there are no IDs on the in the HTML. And this is how you get faster and better, in my opinion.
Of course. And, just to follow up on that, what are the key considerations that developers and testers should keep in mind when leveraging AI for these tasks?
Be in mind, especially for the testing, because I know a lot of developers which say, awesome, finally, there is something where I can generate my unit tests, so I don't need to write it anymore. I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest. I know it works. I know it produces just something. But if you let it produce based on your source code, it will produce your unit tests with go through. If you have an error there, it will produce a unit test with let it pass. If you produce unit tests based on specifications, that's different. If you have an error in the specification, then again. So please be careful, especially for the testers, because here we do something where we have something which is special, which we want to develop to serve our customer. So only we know it. The AI cannot know it. That's impossible. So you need to define it. Either you write it in the user story, in the BDD syntax, or whatever, or in a prompt, or you put that into a prompt. So be careful here. Yes, you can generate tests with it. We have seen that with the login test, which I have shown you with the AppliTools application. It also works for much more complex applications. We use it regularly, but we are very careful here that we define the tests off by us and let the source code generate or parts of the source code.
Thank you. Of course, at the end of the day, leveraging AI requires a lot of careful consideration, calibration from the users in that field. And moving on to the next question, can you talk about how GenAI is facilitating the transformation of BDD feature files into executable source code?
You need to know, I mean, I like BDD.
Mm-hmm.
I just have not seen so many success stories of it.
Okay.
And very often it ends then up that only the testers are doing that, which is not the intention of BDD, because this should be a whole team approach. You know, it should kind of guide you in how to write and structure your tests, that business analyst, tester, developer, customer, whatever, knows what you want to do. Yeah. So kind of you force yourself into a structure with give and then, so to say. But somehow the glue code was then developed by testers, and then it ended up that also the specification feature files are written by the testers. Nowadays it's different, I guess, because with BDD you have a formalized way and a structured way to design the test cases, and with the generative AI you can write code. And why is this not good? Because the BDD syntax is a good prompt, because it defines it already. Sometimes even with test data, with expectations, with the assertions, with given, when, then. And this is not good. So this is something where we also try it out and make good experience. It's not perfect, obviously, but I would recommend you to try it out. Define test cases in BDD syntax and play with the prompt and see what you can achieve.
Fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that. Moving on to the next question, how can teams overcome internal resistance or skepticism towards automation adoption, especially in the context of AI-driven solutions like GenAI? Of course, you did mention that, there's always some only resistance that happens, right? So, yeah.
There is always a resistance to change.
Yes.
To be honest, it's not that easy. Very often from engineers, it's easier because they are innovative and want to try out new stuff. There's new tool, we need to try it. More often it's difficult on management business side that they understand that they need to give now some additional budget because it's not for free. The important thing is, and that's also where, that we are here in the role to kind of, make a sales pitch for that. So convince the team that we need this now. It will help us. It will not replace anyone, but it will help us to produce kind of the best system. Yeah. So it's tested, it's sustainable. We can also operate and run it in 2 years. Not only we need to then sit together and redevelop it because technical debt is so high that we cannot change it anymore because two people left. So this is not what we want to have. So we want to have sustainable solutions. And with this, we can achieve it. And these can be selling points that you say, hey, we need this now, or now it costs X, Y, Z, whatever. Yeah. But we want it, it helps us, we will increase our performance.
Great, thank you so much.
And it's difficult, I know.
Yeah. Of course, and hearing firsthand success stories or seeing changes in key metrics, for instance, that should definitely help change the perspective and lead to better adoption of AI at the end of the day for the organization or the team. Coming to the last question of the day, for teams looking to integrate GenAI into their development workflow, what are the initial steps and best practices that they should ensure for a smooth adoption process?
Depending on where you are, if you are greenfield or already longer running project, or even have a huge legacy system, I used it once to let it explain a class with 3,000 lines of code. So just put it in and ask the AI, can you please explain me what this class is doing? So it depends. The use cases are kind of, endless. Yeah, of course, they're not endless, but it's really a broad range. So use it where you have at the moment some deficits or where you're at the moment slow. It can help you there to get up into pace faster, and also use it where you are already skilled. And so you have the experience, you have the needed skills that you can validate it, because this is important. You will try something out, be very experimentally friendly now. Yeah? So try out everything, and where it then works good, go a little bit deeper, include it in the workflow. I mean, I'm not a big fan of processes, so try to include it with automation. Either with a pipeline or with some coding assistance. If you need a real process, okay. Depends on the company culture or so. So try to get the use cases for you. There are also really cool articles kind of daily appearing. So whatever channel you use for reading news, kind of pin the AI topic that you read once a week, at least an article about AI, so that you get into this topic, that you see other people sharing experiences about prompt engineering, about maybe your language in Java, AI, GitHub Actions, whatever. Yeah. So that you can see out and try it out. And this is then how you will get better in AI, how you can use it better, and how you can also then bring more benefit to the company, because at the end of the day, this is what makes the company happy also, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those insightful, practical approaches for that matter. That really helps. But it has been a great session. And as we wrap up the session, I would like to thank you for sharing your expertise with us. I'm sure our viewers would have found each and every one of it very interesting. Thank you for joining us in this episode of XP Series. And to our audience, stay tuned for more episodes of XP Series, where we continue to explore the latest trends and innovation in testing and QA. Mathias, before we go, is there anything that you might want to share with the audience as a parting note?
Of course. Now, first, thank you very much. Yeah, it was really a nice session, very well moderated. I enjoyed it very much. Hopefully, a lot of people will get something out of it. And yes, yeah, happy testing and stay tuned.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. Subscribe to Lambda Test YouTube channel for more updates on XP episodes. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.